Senior Focus. Welcome, I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, your presenter for this session of Senior Focus. And it's an exciting time with lots of change and lots of challenges for our senior community, 50 plus. And this is why the program exists, and it's very rewarding and very satisfying to be part of this. So it's my passion, and I'm glad to be on air this week and lots of other weeks. I'm also impressed with the range of people that are coming aboard who are contributing and volunteering their time and efforts, both in helping make programs and also contributing funds towards keeping us on air. And on that note, I do need to say that it's very exciting news that Planet FM, the access radio for community in Auckland, 104.6 we broadcast on, as you'll be aware if you tuned into us on air, and we're available online. Our programs can be accessed 24/7 just by going to www.planetaudio, all one word, .org.org.nz. So by going on there, you can find any programs that we broadcast, including Senior Focus, just by looking Senior Focus up, or you can go by day of the week and you can go to Sunday 5:25 and find Senior Focus that way. Now, Planet has been around for 35 years, not broadcasting as Planet FM, but that's how long the Access Radio community has been going in Auckland. And I have met some people who are still making programs now, and they're younger than me, so they must have started in their teens. I'm very excited to think that they're still contributing and still volunteering their time to keep this all going. And over the years, there's been a small trickle of funds put into an account with a view to buying a building, and we have just transacted that this year, and so we are moving in 2022, January, into the new building. And while it's not purpose-built, it's as close as it could be because it's an ex-bank. The whole downstairs area is very thick concrete walls, perfect for recording studios. So with this wonderful find and our very substantial deposit raised over those 35 years, we're headed towards furbishing the fit-out with some very generous funding from Foundation North and from a number of other sources that we've applied to for funding. So we can look forward to having high quality equipment and say goodbye to some of our equipment that's getting outdated and tired. So it provides us with the best of quality to broadcast into the future, to be relevant long-term in a digital space. And I think it's also very exciting that we form part of a community hub. So upstairs in the building we will have five other community organisations like Belong Aotearoa and the ARCC, looking after the migrant communities from the refugee background particularly, and Habitat for Humanity and Red Cross and so on. So these organisations are helping to fund the building as well. We currently are looking to raise $100,000 between now and the end of the year to meet a small shortfall, and any donations are very welcome indeed. And our bank account details and all that are on posters in the station, and they're also on our website and we would welcome even a small donation from individuals can make a difference collectively. We have 300 people volunteering every week in our studio environment in one way or another. So we tap into a large number of communities, people who speak different languages, have different cultures and different needs, and people who have overviews about how things are changing strategically and comment on that. So we've got a number of different types of programs, and it's just very exciting that we're poised to make this shift. And this is a time when you can support community, a community hub, community action, community well-being, community voice, and make sure that all the benefits of Access Radio continue to flourish in Auckland. Now, today, my topic is going to be around freedom. And freedom of movement is terribly important to us, as we discovered during COVID and lockdowns last year. Freedom is not just freedom of speech, but freedom to move around is an important part of well-being, freedom to exercise, freedom to drive your car on the road, freedom to explore your country. And this year, the Prime Minister has said, is her hardest year, much harder than last year. And I could say the same, really. During COVID, I could make programs by telephone from home and ring in. I could rebroadcast old programs at times as well when the lockdown was really complete and total under level four. But under level three, I could make programs over the phone from home. This year, people have been trying to get things started, trying to get out in the community and catch up with people, trying to run events that they didn't run last year. And there's been, I've noticed recently, over the last 6 weeks, it's been a very crowded calendar. There's lots of people having family, extended family gatherings, and lots of people going to communal events that, as I say, didn't run last year but are running again for the first time this year. And, of course, we've had the Olympics and we've had all sorts of welcome distractions, I could say. But largely we haven't had quite the same freedom to travel, and so people have been encouraged to do road trips around New Zealand. They've been encouraged to explore New Zealand. And so on that note, I thought I would share with you a story about a younger woman who has been doing just that, a road trip around New Zealand, around Aotearoa, to Stewart Island in the deep south and back again into the North Island. And her observations and focus has been around gathering stories about people who forage and gather food from source, about people who are of the land, if you like, in the sea. She met with divers who gather seaweed. She met with beekeepers, who, one woman who even keeps bees on her roof. She met with people who hunt deer and rabbits and make clothing from the skins, and also cook casseroles with the meat. She talked to urban foragers in the city that seek out edible weeds. So it's a fascinating book. And this woman is quite an intrepid foodie, but she's an intrepid journeyer too. Sophie Merkins has travelled the world. She's been collecting stories and projects around food in other cultures in faraway places like Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and some of the other Istans, like Turkmenistan. So she's travelled all through these on rough roads, up into the Pamir Highlands, the roof of the world, and down into the villages and valleys, staying in yurts and often winding up in kitchens and gathering amongst local people with their food. She has travelled through Southeast Asia and her trip through Malaysia and Thailand and Vietnam over 6 months with tents on a bike with a friend riding with her. She's, from that experience, developed the skills of negotiation and surviving in heat and cold, and she's translated that into her journey across Central Asia and then decided to put it all into practice in New Zealand and rediscover her own country. So her book is Forage and Gather and is available shortly. I think it may be self-published. I don't have all the details, but when it is available, I'll be announcing that. It's certainly going to have 20 stories about these different women who forage and gather for food and who live close to the land and the sea and who are of our nation celebrating our richness of our environment. So thank you very much, Sophie, for this gift that we can all learn from. It's something that will be inspirational. Now, thinking about freedom and road trips, I was thinking myself that with so much weather that's inclement and so inclement and so unexpected at times and dramatic, whether it's thunderstorms, gales, winds, flooding, etc. It's a little bit off-putting to plan trips because you don't know what kind of road situation you might end up in and whether you might not be able to go some of the places that you'd like to go. And it's always fascinating to be able to go down roads that you're not quite sure where they end up. But in this weather, it's not necessarily advisable. So I find that although I've got fond thoughts about where I might want to do my next road trip, I also have not much intention to actually carry it out at this point in the year. However, I'm interested in reading about other people's experiences of road trips, and if anyone has any tips and tricks and comments about their experiences that they want to share, feel free to contact me, Anne-Marie Marie, that's A-N-N-E-M-A-R-I-E dot Currie, C-O-U-R-Y, at gmail.com. So please, with that information or suggestions for conversations in the future, ideas for topics and so on, feel free to email me and get in touch, because this is how we grow the relevance and the interest of Senior Focus for our senior community. Now, I also have some announcements about things of interest. This is the time of the year when it's probably the most challenging to budget, particularly with the cold weather, the electricity bills going up for some people quite sharply. At the same time, we will be having the first rate demand for the year coming in at the end of the month. And some people may not be aware that rates demands for rates rebate forms are available in your local library. So the application forms are open now. You can apply from 1st of July 2021 to the 30th of June 2022. And while some people scramble around at the end of the financial year to apply, there's nothing to stop you applying now. And you may not actually benefit from the application of your rates rebate immediately. May take the second instalment of the rates to have the benefit, but it can be applied during the year, so it can make it easier for you to budget. And I notice on the form that anyone earning the pension and nothing else, no matter what their level of rates, if they might be $1,250 if you're lucky, right through to $4,000. But if you're earning $26,000 a year, which is roughly what the pension is before tax, you will receive $665 as a rates rebate. You can earn, of course, more than that, but the amount you receive would be less. So if you were on, say, $30,000, say you got had a small investment and you added that on annually and it was $30,000 before tax and your average rates were, well, let's say what the average property is in Auckland, say your rates were $3,000, then your rebate would be $665 again. So there is a reasonable amount of overlap. You could even earn as much as $36,000 with the average property rate of $3,000 and your income being $36,000 before tax, and you could still gain a rebate of $665. And it's not just for seniors, it's for anyone, any age. So it's worthwhile getting the form, discussing it with your wider family and encouraging others in your family, maybe grandchildren who are buying property, to look into whether they qualify or not. Because it can be, you know, something that people just overlook. They don't realise that it's available. So local library, and look out for the white form with the purple border, and it's put out by Internal Affairs. And there's the questions that you have to answer are on the form, and then you need to make sure that you've got your documentation, your statement of annual receipt of the pension from WINS, what that entails, and your statement from the IRD annually, and any other information that's relevant that's asked for on the form. So all of that gets put together and you file it, you get it into the council, and then you can look forward to having that money credited against your rates bill, which could be very useful this year with the rates increase. It's going to bite, and also the increase in water rates, and water rates are also able to be claimed as well as part of the total. Don't forget that's on the form too. And now I'm going to take a music break. I hope you'll enjoy sitting back and having a breathing space.
Somewhere in another world alone with you. sharing all the joys we used to know. Again, your face comes back to me, just like the theme of some forgotten melody in the album of my memory. Yesterday, a small cafe, a crowded floor, and as we dance the night away, I hear you say forevermore, and then the song became a sigh. Is there still a spark, or only lonely ashes of the flame we knew? Should I go on whistling in the dark, serenade in
And the important topic of the day is the weighing up of trackless trams against light rail. And even more important is the shadow backdrop of the announcement that we may be short of $400 million to spend on keeping faith with the need for upgrades with public transport infrastructure. And these things are slightly related, but I want to talk about the impact on public transport of choices that we have and choices we don't have, because I think it's very important. We've got a rapidly growing ageing population. What that means is that in the next 10 years, we're going to see 24% of our adult population being over 65, and a considerable number of those people will be even over 80. Now, as we age, we lose some of our faculties or our capacities, or they are modified or limited in different ways. So eyesight, hearing, mobility in particular, impact on our use of transport. So people, through no desire of their own, have to face up to the fact that they actually may need to stop driving cars, that it may no longer be safe for them to do so, or safe for other people to be on the road with them. So it's something that comes upon people somewhat rapidly. Often it's not a long, slow progression. It can be quite an overnight thing. They suddenly get a pacemaker and they're told, well, you can't drive for 2 weeks. If you live alone, how do you shop? How do you manage your day-to-day affairs? Things that where you would normally rely on your car, you're not able to, and you're not necessarily able to get substitutes easily. It may be too expensive to do it by taxi, even though there are things like the Total Mobility Scheme that you can plug into through Auckland Transport. There is also the Total Mobility Permit, so that enables you, if you've got mobility issues and can still drive, you can use the park and rides, for example, at the bus stations, which normally are no use to seniors because they're full well before 9 o'clock, and unless you want to go there at 8 in the morning or earlier, and then sit around so you can use the free transport an hour later. And most people don't want to do that in the cold. It's not a very practical setup. Having mentioned these things, I'll just switch back to the fact that it's getting more crowded on the road. We've got more congestion and people are noticing this. And it's not going to get any easier as we've got population increase that's coming through immigration. And even though immigration has slowed, it's not slow enough to free up the highways. Most people coming in want to buy a car to get around in Auckland because they find it practical. So public transport is a poor relation and it's not practical often for people to use. And many of us know that who use it regularly. The one thing that I think stands out, that where there's bus lanes, dedicated bus lanes and busways, the buses are heavily patronised, like over the Harbour Bridge, taking lots of vehicles off the road. But getting to those bus stations is a problem because the feeder buses, the local buses, take too long, they are not frequent enough, and they wind around everywhere, and so there's no quick, ready solution for people who just want to get on with their travel. And it's a similar issue when you look at getting to the airport. If you go on a light rail system that is stopping regularly for local passengers on the isthmus, it's not going to be a fast train to the airport. So there's two types of travel there, two types of travellers, and really, two types of services are required. It's not really sensible to combine the two. And the other issue is that the cost. And so today, Simon Wilson, in the day that I'm recording this program, which is in advance of Sunday, today in the Herald, on Tuesday the 17th of August, Simon Wilson has put a very full account out of how do you weigh up the pros and cons of what we should be spending our dollars on. And after all, we haven't got surplus dollars. We've got a black hole in the COVID budget in Auckland. So 40% of our rates money goes to Auckland Transport, and so we have to look very carefully at the regional transport plan, what projects have been decided on, which projects have been axed, and how much is going into the central rail loop and how much would be available for light rail or for the alternative, which would be light trackless trams. Now, light trackless trams is what the Dominion Road Business Association has come out in favour of. And why are they saying this? Because this technology has been around 4 years from China. There are a number of cities around the world that are eco-conscious. And in fact, Toyama in Japan is the top eco city in Japan, I believe, and they have specialised in investing in trackless trams, particularly to help their older population. They've got a very considerable senior population in Japan, people living to even 100. And in Toyama, you can travel around on these trackless trams. And I've actually seen them and travelled on them, so I can tell you that they are wonderful. They are quite comfortable, much more comfortable than buses. And they're very manoeuvrable. They are a bendy tram. They're long. They have multiple segments, and they don't need tracks, and because of they're able to go anywhere, they don't need tracks and carry quite considerable numbers of people. They are very cost effective, so the savings would be considerable, and they stack up very well, and it's easy to get them into operation quickly. unlike light rail, which can take 10 years. Think about it. We certainly need to get feedback coming from these public meetings and so on that are being held. Thank you for listening, and we'll be with you next time.